Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 108. I'm your host John Jordan, and joining me today is Bozina Rezab, who is the CEO of Gamey. How's it going?
Hi. Thank you for the nice welcome. Everything and good in here?
Everything good, yes. We're laughing because I'm having problems pronouncing people's names as ever. So Bozina is being very charitable to me. This is going to be an interesting discussion because you are one of the project was live doing game stuff, mobile game stuff, and then sort of transitioned to blockchain. So I think we're seeing sort of more of those projects now. Previously, it's been a lot of sort of crypto first. And there's no right or wrong, but some interesting sort of opportunities and challenges from taking existing products. So that's really what I'm going to focus on. But it's always good to get a sort of idea of how you got into blockchain to begin with. So do you want to give us that potted history?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, happily. So I was recently counting, and we started. I met with my co-founders many years ago, and we were not in blockchain, not in gaming. So each of us was doing something different. But it was about 10 years ago, and I was working for Google at that time on YouTube, and I was leading initiatives about creating gaming channels, helping partners to create gaming content on YouTube and monetizations. And I was really impressed how this technology of video streaming managed to connect people across a series of content and like completely change the industry. And I was a passionate gamer as well. And when I met my co-founders, they had this idea of a social gaming network. And I was like, oh, wait a second. That's like if we took YouTube into mobile gaming, that would be it. So we got together and we started working on the first prototype of Gamey, and we went through this like typical startup path. So you have an idea, you don't even have a team, you don't have investors, but then like you find your first founding team, you get your first investors, you start getting users, everything. So we took Gamey into, I think now we have 40 million registered users. We have launched over 80 games, and the path to blockchain was kind of natural because what we have seen, and we had this vision of connecting people across series of content and figuring out what is it that makes people stay with us long term, because we are in a sector of mobile casual gaming, and casual games, hyper casual, have a very short shelf life. So people play the game and they leave. So the industry is a lot about how much money you put into advertising and how much money you can extract from the advertising. But that's not really fun, right? Because you have to keep doing it over and over again. So we were looking for how can we play this game differently? Like, how can we build a company differently? So we started looking into like building something that stays long term, where the community grows over time and we add more content. And when we we were building exactly that without blockchain, and when we saw that there were first companies creating currency on Ethereum blockchain, the first characters or even items on blockchain, we started thinking, oh, actually, what if that was that, like the value and the ownership? What if that was the glue that connected the games, and that was the value that was created and had people stay with us and build and contribute, etc.? So that was a pretty exciting idea, but obviously we had no experience with blockchain or building on blockchain ourselves. So we started thinking about how do we approach it, and I took a flight to in 2019. I took a flight to Hong Kong to a conference, Blockchain Gamer. And I didn't really know much about building on blockchain at that time, but I met all the founders of blockchain gaming there. It was Yasu from Animoca Brand, it was Sebastian Bourget from Sandbox, it was Gabby, right? And they had this at that time crazy sounding visions, and I was like, it's either completely insane or genius. And I started thinking what would that mean for us. And on the plane back to Europe, I was this is what we need to do. This is what we're going to do. And the connection to Yasu and Animoca Brand, we followed up, and that ended up being an acquisition of Gamey. And now Gamey is part of Animoca Brands, and we keep building the same vision using blockchain tech.
Interesting. No, it's good. It was interesting that in those sort of years, like say, sort of 2019 was sort of the, the crypto winter, as people sort of called it there. And basically, there was not much going on, and there was, as you said, you could sort of go to a conference and meet all the people now who are now seen as sort of leading the business, and they were all sort of all in those sort of fairly small conferences, just sort of preaching out. So it's interesting. I'm going to unpick a bit of the stuff. So let's talk a bit about, the original vision of Gamee. And for people who don't know, it is a mobile app that you download, and you're still running it, even though you have this sort of blockchain app that we'll talk about. But basically, you say there's lots of mini games there, and you effectively, what's happening there is you as Gamee are running advertising through that, and people are sort of indirectly getting paid for playing the games and watching advertising. There's sort of like that's the value exchange. But as with all those sort of systems, the problem is you have to basically consume enormous amount of gaming. You have to be on it for hours and hours and hours every day, really, to get, there's a £10 limit, isn't there? So that's clearly, I guess, from that point of view, was blockchain something that immediately, I guess that's your biggest problem, isn't it? That it's very hard to pay people, because there's all this sort of legacy system of how money gets transferred through and who takes what, and basically have this £10 limit, which hardly anyone ever hits. Did that block? Go on, yeah, you go.
So it was not only, it's of course the payment is like that's like super strong motivation, right? So what we're like on the reward side, what we're doing is we were taking a certain amount of revenue and we're distributing back to gamers as prizes. But that's not the only thing, right? So there are gamification layers that go across the games that make you progress. There's some like social recognition. And what we have seen also super strongly was that, especially when gaming was a bit more competitive, it was people really cared about being recognized, how good they are. And they also cared a lot about which features and games are going to be launched on the platform. So we had the first voting and game jams and people pitching what they would like to see on the platform to us through social media. But of course, you can take that to a next level with blockchain as well. So now we're jumping a little bit into present and future, but this is what our gaming currency on blockchain enables us to do, is to have people vote and decide about what, like how the platform is going to look like, what's going to come.
So from that point of view, was that decision, we're trying to build something, but we have these inbuilt sort of problems that are not sort of letting us really sort of take potential. Blockchain's gonna solve that. So was that sort of like a done deal when you brought that back to your sort of team? And was that sort of an obvious thing that the community was like, yep, let's go for it. This is gonna solve all our problems, or was it a bit more sort of nuanced than that?
So I think we saw enormous playground, enormous field of opportunities, like how differently and like how much more you can engage community into building the product. And we looked into two options. So either we take this new tech and all the ideas and opportunities and we somehow paste it or make it work for an existing product, or we start over with a different mindset. And we decided for the latter, to start over, even though like you kind of have to start over also from the user perspective and everything. But I think with the, it's not only about using new technology. I think there is a lot about thinking differently how the game is built together with the community, that it was necessary kind of to start over rather than trying to shape an old product into something new. So the decision was to launch a new product that's now called Arcade. It has a similar nature. So it's one destination, one brand. It has multiple games in it. There are gamification layers, skill-based gaming, and it's connected with the gaming currency. But yeah, so there is a gaming currency. There are, of course, multiple game characters on chain. But the difference is it's built with the idea in mind that it will not always be controlled and managed by the team. So now to give you a specific example, so Arcade has been launched with 10 games, now it has 12 games, and these are done by the team, by Gamee team. There are prize pools, but these are in our token, and we decide about the distribution, then players earn those tokens. However, this is not the end game. So we're now actively working on decentralizing Arcade, if you want, so that people own parts of the gaming platform. And thanks to that, they not only earn part of the revenue that's happening within their pieces of Arcade, but they can also decide which games are going to be launched within their, we call it Arcade Hub, or which tokens and how are going to be distributed. So they will manage and they will be become promoters and hosts of the matches and tournaments. So that would not be possible with our old gaming.
In terms of that swapping from the Gamee app to the Arcade app, I mean, the Gamee app is still live, as you point out. I mean, obviously you've used that as a cross-promotional thing. Has that sort of worked, or has, we'll talk a bit about how you launched sort of Arcade as well, but you know, has that sort of cross-promotion bit worked as well as you liked, or has, you know?
We have not fully tried yet the cross promotion, and the reason for that is it's we still see Arcade as, even though it was like alpha beta, now it's live. There is still so much work on like the clarity and the integration and the flow, and like, is it really clear that this is a game currency you own and this is a game character, it's an NFT. So we're now working with people who have some knowledge in crypto, and I think it still needs a better job explaining what's happening and when is the right moment to serve which information for us to be able to invite millions of users from our old app who may not have any idea what blockchain or cryptocurrency is. So we have not done that yet, to be honest.
And in terms of sort of Arcade, which launched, I guess getting on, no, not quite a year old, are you? I think you launched sort of summer last year, maybe September, was it? And you did that with effectively a sort of a token distribution. So you have your token, which is called Gamee, and then basically you had the app, and basically people could effectively, they just had to sort of tap, as far as I remember. You basically sort of got up to 50 tokens for free, wasn't it? And that worked pretty well. I imagine you're happy with that. That was like hundreds of thousands of people tapping for free.
Yeah, so I think this is a super interesting case study, which eventually tells you that if you're giving something for free, then people come and they show up in large amounts. Then the question is, what do you get out of it, right, long term? So just maybe to give you full idea, what we wanted to see is that Arcade could be an entrance to blockchain, and we're seeing that more and more is that when you download from App Store and Google Play, you open a wallet with a click. It's very easy. It's a custodial wallet, so you don't need to have a wallet. You don't need to understand necessarily how to open an external one, and you start earning first tokens. So the mining phase, we called it mining of Arcade, was just to open wallets and to give people first tokens. So when the mining phase changes into playing, they're already equipped with it. Otherwise, they would have to go to exchanges. That's not easy to do for somebody first time. And once they get their hands on their first tokens, they are able to play. They see like what that means, how that works, and then they will able to purchase their own NFT for Gamee token, which is a game character that is supported in one of the games. We call them GBots. So the path was opening first wallet, getting their first crypto, being able to purchase first NFT, and then playing first game with NFT, etc. When people get savvy enough, or of course, if there is a savvy user connecting to Arcade, they can use their own wallet, of course, MetaMask, no problem. But we're looking at the flow, and if our mission is onboarding billions of users into blockchain, it does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that. People already have MetaMask and they can manage it, right? So back to the mining. So yes, we were giving out airdrops of tokens. So we have seen many, many users coming in to collect it. Now the interesting part was how many of them will stay and play, right? So we had about 500,000 daily people collecting tokens. Of course, the mining rate then slowed down. It wasn't 50 for everybody. It was for the most successful and early ones. Now we're at 50,000 daily. So, and these are active gamers that play. They use the Gamee token, earn, spend. So, if that was 10%, I would say that's still very good. I wasn't sure if we can even achieve it, because honestly, you're giving stuff for free. You can make a spike in large amounts of users in anything. So the challenge was really like, how can we convert them into gamers, and do they stay with us long enough so then the app is ready for scaling, right? And the point is, especially in blockchain gaming, is to design economy that that is sustainable long term. And we have seen that in many games over and over again. It's a brutal math game in free to play, and there is nobody giving out cash for free. It has to work. Like, the economy has to work. The economy in blockchain games is a little bit different. You're looking for economy that sits within players, so there's a strong secondary, and if you invest something, it stays with the community, etc. But it has to be something that's sustainable long term, and this is what we're looking to achieve with Arcade. So there's not, of course, not a problem to launch another mining season if we wanted to, like, have really high numbers, but that's not the
No,
point.
it is. I mean, I guess it's one of the interesting things about when you get into blockchain is there are sort of so many levers to pull. It's sort of knowing which ones to pull at the right time. And I guess we see that a little bit with the NFT drops. And if you do a great NFT drop, then the temptation is, well, let's do just another NFT sort of drop. And obviously, I think diminishes diminishing returns. So you sort of want to make sure you're doing it at the right time. So in terms of where you are at the moment with Arcade, do you see that as being? I mean, these terms are slightly meaningless, but do you see it like a beta sort of thing? See that, and because I guess you've got a scaling bit you want to do in terms of getting more people in there, and then there's the sort of the long-term plan for the platform, which is becoming more decentralized. And those, how do those two sort of fit together?
So these come, so the scaling is getting Arcade bigger, but also getting Arcade into a shape where the bigger means it's not only us managing the platform, right? So now we have 12 games live, and these 12 games, you can imagine as 12 different hubs. If we wanted to speak metaverse, well, this could be 12 different places where the tournaments and matches are happening, and each of them will be split into 1,000 shares. So eventually, every single hub will be managed by up to 1,000 people, and they will decide which game, which sponsor is going to, and which how to distribute the prize pools among players. So they will become promoters of that place, interested in bringing more people to the platform. So the scaling and the growth is not necessarily us spending a lot of money on user acquisition or giving away too many tokens for people to come in and collect, but it's rather building bridges to different projects, sponsors, turning our players into owners. So we're really trying to see, like, if we speak about Web3, what does that mean into managing a gaming in managing a gaming platform, and how to build these meaningful bridges to other projects. So it's not only an empty talk about interoperability, but can we meaningfully take your token into Arcade and have that as a utility? Can we meaningfully take your game with NFTs to Arcade? How to make it so people own part of Arcade, and it's a lot of fun and makes sense for them as well economically. So that's a lot, but that's the exciting part.
So, gaming at the moment, most of the games in there were not developed by you guys, or
Aware,
were they?
all of them.
All of them. Okay, so you have to build out you have to build out a now a sort of ecosystem where you're getting other developers to start developing games for you. So.
So we have done that before with our old gamey. So we have done several game jams and contests where people were pitching games to us, and people were voting on social media. It's not live on Arcade yet. One of the reasons is that people come to platforms because of great content. And if you open platforms too soon for too many in not a good way, we have seen that happening on different portals, or I don't want to name, but there was like services that opened up doors and they were like thousands of really bad games, and it kind of destroyed the platform. So it has to be done gradually. The rollout has to be smart, and that will probably come as the last step. As one of the first steps will be ownership of players and inviting sponsors, and other games. The last step will be fully, like, whoever wants to pitch a game to Arcade, they will be able to, with the voting of owners if they want that game.
And I guess the sort of vision you have here, which is, sort of build a project that lots of people are using, and then sort of share that economy among the various sort of players or people who are interested in it, and then sort of decentralize. Is something that, you know, lots of projects sort of have that as their vision. Axie Infinity, you know, the Bored Ape people now with their sort of metaverse thing, and so that's fairly standard. How does that fit in the sense that, you know, you are an existing sort of company? You were bought by Animoca Brands for, you know, €4 million. Obviously, you have a token, so maybe you do it that way. There is some interesting, you know, from an investor point of view, there is an interesting sort of change happening here, where previously you basically invested into a company, you own shares, the company got bought or IPO'd, and that was your sort of exit. Whereas now you have this value where you maybe invest in a company and you have shares in that, and then you get some tokens, and then the sort of shares still exist, but the product has sort of taken over from the company. And, you know, how do you think that plays out as a sort of for an investor, and I guess you guys as sort of owners of the company as well,
Right.
shareholders, I suppose, still.
Well, I think the interesting part is here that the token brings in another dimension compared to when I can compare running a company prior to having token with like a different VC round into equity. It's different now on several levels, right? We have done investments into Gamy after the acquisition. So even though Animoca owns 100% of Gamy right now, we have done investments into the company through the ownership of the token. So most recently we have closed an investment with Binance Labs. And this is how you can put on the same boat investors, team players, retail investors through the gaming token. Of course, the token, like the most important feature of it's being used and supported across our games, and it's powering the gaming ecosystem, but it aligns the interests of all parties. And that I think is super interesting and was something that wasn't possible before.
I guess the other thing always about having a token live, which is similar to if you have a share, you know, share price live, that everyone always looks at the share price. But obviously that happens for most companies. They're much more mature when they get to that stage. We see almost see the reverse for blockchain sort of projects, where often the first thing that happens is a token, and then everyone's immediately looking at it. And obviously, whether it goes up or down has very little. You as the sort of the team have very little control over that in most regards. How have you found, you know, being you know, the head of a company where basically everyone can every day look up, for every second, for every day, look at the price of the gaming token, basically sort of complain that it's come down?
Well,
Because that bit's not
I used
fun.
to look at that, like not only at gaming token, but I used to look at prices of many tokens and portfolios, but I don't do that anymore because it's not helpful. So I'm trying to see like what we can do with the tech we have and if that's reflected on the price or trade volume. I think it's like the end goal is not to have a crazy expensive token because like this crazy expensive token, like it that's not the right goal basically. So like what the KPIs we look at is what is the amount of holders, like how decentralized ownership it is, right? How the token is liquid, what is the trade volume, like are people interested in holding and trading? And of course the most important one, how is it being used in that game, in the game we built. So the deepening utility, making it accessible, decentralized ownership of the token itself as well as the platform, these are the metrics we care about. The price moves very much with the market, and I don't think there is like enough we can do from day to day to be able like to even justify like watching it very closely.
I mean, one of the issues I think with tokens is they sort of clearly make sense for very big projects. So, like, you know, Axie Infinity, you know, is a very sort of substantial project. Lots of stuff going on there. It's proven itself over the years, and you could argue whether the price of the tokens is too high or too low, whatever. But you can understand that's a sort of a big economy, and that requires tokens, right? I guess one of the criticisms of everything having a token is, you know, some games and some projects are just not going to be big enough. Their economy is just never going to be big enough really to arguably sustain a token. So how do you see that in terms of, you know, gaming, which is still, you know, I guess, you know, you've got tens of thousands of DAUs, but still relatively on the smaller side of some of the sort of blockchain game projects out there. I mean, do you think the advantages of having a token much outweigh the downsides?
I think we're still at the very beginning, and the benefits of what we can build with blockchain hugely outweighs any of the like problems, if you want, or like uncertainties. So I think Big part of our motivation is we can build something that was not built before. We can operate on the between like segments. Like you're seeing like you're touching gaming, but also finance, education, and this is incredibly exciting that you have a tool with which you can build something that it could be even a new genre in games that doesn't even have a name yet. So, I think that's what makes us motivated and what makes us stick around and keep building and figuring out like what is the future of the platform and what is the value we can bring to gamers and gaming industry. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your
Yeah, no,
question.
another thing I wanted to chat about, and you mentioned it previously. You have launched your first NFTs called Gbots, but can you talk a little bit about that? Obviously, they're again very sort of functionally driven NFTs rather than these sort of very high value sort of PFP ones. Can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to do NFTs and what you think NFTs do that is different from what you're already sort of being able to offer using the token?
Yeah, so Gbots are game characters. They have many stats. They have different 10 different stats. They come in various classes and rarities. They have upgrade, a breed, evolve function that was not launched yet. It's coming in a few weeks. And we wanted like the main motivation is with Gbots was that we really wanted to test on ourselves, like how does this interoperability and starting a game con like starting a game from the character, which is a little bit reverse process than in gaming, as you add assets into game rather than you add games around assets. How does this reverse process work, right? Like what can you create with that? Or, again, like testing something completely new and stepping into unknown waters. So we have launched 5,000 Genesis NFTs. And we naturally thought of that as okay, we will take Gbots into Arcade and we will incubate them within Arcade because Arcade has 12 games and one of them supports Gbots. So we can add more and more games within Arcade that support Gbot, different genres that use its stats differently. So this is what we're doing. We have first live, second one's coming. So we will do a couple of games that are incubated within Arcade and then we will set Gbots onto an independent path. So they will have a standalone content, but that is already delivering on the interoperability, right? Like we're moving them from one piece of content to another and seeing how that works, how that translates. And of course, we're also talking to our partners and advisors at Sandbox, like how can we take Gbots to Sandbox? How can we take Arcade to Sandbox? So Arcade and Gbots are starting each of them from a little bit different angle. Arcade is a platform that hosts games, even NFTs such as Gbots. So they are like example and one of the first pilots. So we can even tell others, okay, look, this is what we did. This is how it worked with Gbots. We can do it with your NFTs, right? And Gbots are starting from a different angle. And that's like if we had game characters, and there is a roadmap of content and experiences for them. This is how it looks like. So two different approaches, very much interconnected, not only by being like hosted within each other, but also by Gimme Token. An incredible experience, learning experience for the team as well, knowing exactly like when we hear the theory and the trends, what can you do with blockchain, having hands-on experience,
No,
what
definitely.
does that really mean?
And I guess just sort of my final question really is that you're operating all this through, through Apple App Store, Google Play Store. So the Arc 8 app is available through those. Obviously, the Gamey app was available through those as well. So you have experience of that. But have you found that as a as a platform? Because obviously, we're seeing an increasing number of blockchain games going through those sort of official platforms. There's still, I guess, a certain amount of uncertainty about what the long-term use of those platforms might be. Have you found operating that, and is there things you haven't been able to do that you wanted to do?
Yeah, so I think that having native apps on App Store and Google Play makes it incredibly easy for the gamer. So if it's like user first, this is the choice. If you go blockchain maximalist, of course you cannot do many things there. So you need to take the game out of stores. So our decision was to go user first and offer the starting point as easy as possible as a mobile app. But now we have more and more management tools where you need to, for example, stake your Gbot or connect your wallet to Arcade. That all happens on web, cannot be done in the mobile app. There is a management of blockchain that happens on web, and there is the actual gaming experience that happens in app. And I think that balance works. If Apple or Google Play change their mind in any way, we will have to address that, but there is a plan, so I'm not really worried about that.
How optimistic are you that I guess particularly Apple, but even Google, they're seeing long-term trends happening in the sort of platform that was set up a decade ago. Do you think it's going to be a fast process, or is it just it doesn't really come into your thinking because it's nothing you can control? So.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot about money if they figure out business models around the why wouldn't they allow? We shall see. I think they can respond pretty fast to trends. Hopefully it will be something that will support the industry rather than push back.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. It was really fascinating to go through all the different sort of elements, and with every blockchain project that you sort of you from the outside you sort of see where it is now, and it's the difficult bit is sort of see the whole sort of vision of it. So thanks for going through all that. For people who want to sort of see what we're up to and sort of keep that in touch, where's the best place to point the browsers or.
Oh, I think it's a good idea is to download Arcade and Play, of course.
Okay.
Ideally with a GBot, because that takes you to an exclusive tournament. If you're not a gamer, you can follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. So Arcade available on App Store, Google Play Store. GBots are available on OpenSea, on Polygon. So you didn't really cover it. You run on Polygon blockchain. What's the next thing we should be sort of awaiting?
Well, the big thing is that we will start decentralizing Arcade. So we will offer first pieces of Arcade for ownership. So that's an exciting part, and there will be other partners coming into Arcade and offering their tokens as prize pools. So that's quite a big thing. I'm super excited about that. For GBots, we have only 5,000 of them, so that's not a large gamer pool. So that's limited by the amount, but soon they will be able to breed and evolve. So that's an exciting one as well.
Plenty to be watching out for. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for watching and listening to the podcast, wherever you consume it. Don't forget, every week we're talking to people who are building out this I find fascinating new sort of sector of games meets blockchain meets tech, and coming up with some very interesting new situations and some new experiences. And as Brazil's been saying, yes, we interesting new sort of ownership models around this sort of stuff. So please do subscribe via your podcast or video cast platform of choice. Thanks for watching, and come back next week to see what's going on in the world of blockchain gaming world.